This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a long-time tradition that started way back in 1979 when this station signed on from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito. Jim Taylor with Ty Taylor, and let's celebrate a life devoted to public education and interscholastic athletics. How can we do that today? But none other than bring in the dynamic duo of that. Katie Hassan and Tom Hassan, hard to believe, finishing up their careers here in June. And what a great career. I remember Katie Hassan, I had a conversation with you, I don't know if it was this school year or last year, when you told me about the Cambridge Viking postseason. I think that was back, well, mid-80s, played at Alexis, a postseason game. So I guess that's how I want to kind of begin our conversation. Is that what kind of hooked you on interscholastic athletics and education back in those days at Cambridge?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, Tom and I were both very active at Cambridge, Cambridge Vikings through and through. And our sophomore year in high school, our girls basketball team made it to state in the two-class system. And our super sectional, believe it or not, was held at the old Alexis High School, which is now the Alexis Community Center. Mm-hmm. We had a super. We played at that time. They were called Hancock Central, Carthage, Hancock Central, Carthage High School. And we won the super sectional there at Alexis. Place was packed just to the rafters. I remember arriving, getting off the bus, you know, an hour before the game. And people were lined up out to the parking lot, you know, trying to get in. The gym was just packed. They set a row of folding chairs on each baseline, and they were three or four deep standing behind the folding chairs, if you can imagine that environment. And our best player, Josie Todd, who went on to scholarship at the University of Illinois for their women's basketball team, she got fouled as time expired and hit the front end of the 1-1 with no time on the clock to send us to state. That probably wasn't the start of it. I could probably go back a little bit farther. I had two cousins, Greg and Darren Johnson, who played football for Cambridge in the 70s. I think Greg graduated in 1980. That was kind of my exposure. And my dad is an official. I remember him getting the IHSA used to publish, the Illinois Interscholastic. They used to publish a monthly newsletter that got mailed to all the officials and to schools. And I remember, you know, dad receiving that and flipping through it when he was an official early in his tenure. So it goes back quite a ways.
So give me some of your first memories, Tom Hassan, when you were a youth. And, you know, when did you know, was it at a young age that you knew you wanted to be a teacher and coach?
No, I don't believe so. In sixth grade, we had to do our what we wanted to be when we grew up, and I wanted to be a police officer, I believe. And of course, I started playing sports and doing those things. And then once I went to actually Monmouth College then and got into a few things, I actually wanted to major in history and decided that wasn't it. So I went to the PE department, and then we did all the stuff there, and I was like, this is it. So really enjoyed it since then. So yeah.
So give me your first like memory, maybe as a classroom teacher and a coach. I mean, is there anything that stands out when you began your career?
Yes. I started at Spoon River Valley. It was over by Farmington.
Yeah.
And elementary PE teacher. And I don't know. I think when you first come in, you think you can really change the world with different things as you're going. I had such passion for my PE stuff and whatever. And sometimes the youngsters that I had at that time, and they loved playing. I mean, they really did. But it happened here at Rock Ridge as well. We went outside one day, and we were going to do it, and the kid goes, "It's way too hot. We're not doing this." You know, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, you're 5. I said, "Yes, we are." You know, so that was probably it. And the neat thing about elementary kids is that they really love everything we're doing. I mean, and just I have fun with it too. And that's what I said. I think I'm still age 7, so it works out good.
So what about you, Katie Hassan? Do you have like a first memory of working in education, getting into it?
I was a biology major at Augustana and student taught at Rock Island High School. So had some good memories working there with Bob Motz, doing my student teaching term the spring of my senior year. And actually, Rocky made it to state in basketball that year. So I had a couple of the team members in my classes, so that was kind of cool. But then got a job teaching high school biology at Rova. That's where I started my teaching career. I spent a total of 13 years there in 2 different stints, just you know, being in the classroom and getting to know the kids and having those connections, you know, not only with the teaching the curriculum and some of the things, you know, I enjoyed having kids from Rova come back to me, you know, who had gone on. Carl Sandburg College has a really good radiology program, and teaching biology, I sent several kids through that program, and they were like, "Man, anatomy at Carl Sandburg was easy after I took your class." You know, so those are some of the kind of the things that make you feel good. And, you know, I coached several things, junior high basketball, junior high volleyball, varsity volleyball, and a couple of different stints there at Rova, and eventually succeeded Bill Whalen, who was the longtime AD over there. I became AD in 2001 and did that for 4 years over there at Rova, and then kind of accelerated my trek into administration then from there.
Yeah, so for both of you, I know athletics are a big thing. Obviously, you talked about your history there, coaching and then working as the AD at Rova. And we know, you know, Coach Hassan, his great, you know, career in coaching interscholastic athletics too. So growing up around, you know, high school sports for you two, I mean, how big of a role did that play, I guess, in eventually taking the career path of wanting to get into education?
Well, I think I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. You know, going to Augustana, I knew I was going to go in the education department. I didn't know for sure. You know, what area. I kind of originally maybe thought elementary education. And then my freshman year had a human anatomy course with Dr. Bob Talich at Augustana, who is awesome, a legend there at now retired at Augie. And that kind of turned me on to getting into biology as my major and down that road. And again, just my involvement in athletics, knew I wanted to coach. And so it was just kind of a natural progression, I think.
And then when I was playing, Coach Larry Stahl was our football coach and my track coach, and J.C. Wise was an assistant coach, and then Bob Baylor, who has passed away now, but he was our wrestling coach and football coach. They made it fun. I mean, we won some games, and it made it to the playoffs back then and those fun things. But I don't know. They just made it fun for you to play, and I always wanted to be – I kind of wanted to be that way, you know, and coach that way and teach that way. So that was my first experiences, I think.
You know, and the other thing I look at about, well, even at Rock Ridge, for you, Katie, and you mentioned Rova, and then growing up at Cambridge, and Tom was in Aledo, and you mentioned Spoon River Valley and at Rock Ridge. You know, especially from your lens, Katie, overseeing the interscholastic athletics and activities. And I'm not going to make this about big schools and small schools, but at the small school, and I call it the ultra small school level, you know, when you talk about your upbringing at Cambridge or even here at Mercer County, where there are about 400 students, Rock Ridge 350 or whatever, you get the opportunity to kind of, if you want to be a student and experience it all, dip your toe in the arts, in athletics, in activities, in NHS, whatever, you get that experience. I mean, what about seeing that and getting a chance to kind of promote that? I think for both of you, that has to be pretty cool where you've lived it. And then you kind of oversee it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, growing up, I was in everything. I was band and choir and athletics, three-sport athlete. Was active in 4-H as a kid. Never did FFA at Cambridge, but they had, at that time, it was called FHA, now the FCCLA, the Family and Community Science Leaders, Future Leaders of America. You know, involved in all those things. And exactly what you were saying, the memory comes to mind for me at Rock Ridge. We used to do a meet the teams night every fall, and you know, have all of our fall sports and activities out there on the track and the football field, and introduce them and kind of kick off the fall season. And our you know, our show choir kids would do a performance. And I remember, you know, around the Connor Frakes, Carson Frakes, you know, some of that range of guys and gals, you know, the different kids that were involved in show choir at that time, looking out there and watching the show choir kids do a few songs and sing the national anthem. And almost every single one of them's got a sports jersey on too, you know? So to see those kids that are involved in so many different things, that's the beauty of small school sports and activities, is to be able to be involved in so many different things. And that's one thing I definitely take pride in.
Yeah. That's the same concept of teaching these kids when they were, you know, about the size and are up to my knee, and now these kids have graduated and they're, you know, 6'6" and 6'8" and 6'2" and, you know, even 5'10" is taller than me, so we're good. But it's just great to see them grow and see their careers take off and different things too, and then see them later on, and you know, they'll come back and say thank you, or you know, all those things, or hey, you remember this? And we're like, yep, I do, you know, whatever. But it's just so much fun to see them grow, and then their families, you know, because then their brother or sister comes in and be like, hey, I had your brother and sister here in class, and it really is fun that way.
Well, and that's a good point you bring up, because that's what I was thinking about, you know, being reflective of what this career has provided me. And I think about, you know, Katie Hassan, basically a kid post Title IX that realizes what that story meant and you were on with Mary Flynn three or four years ago telling those stories. And we take for granted sometimes what modern history is and getting the opportunities maybe that your mother or grandmother didn't get and telling that story. And then people can say, well, look, Katie Hassan now, you know, just 20 years later, is president of the Illinois High School Association Board of Directors, and there will be kids that say, I want to do that because that's my example. And Tom, you talked about relationships with kids that you coached or taught. And I remember one of my favorite stories when Coach Welter was inducted into the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame. I did like a feature package, and I had a lot of people come in and talk about Coach Welter, and you were among the people. But I'm not kidding you. Every kid that I spoke to when I did that piece, they also had a Tom Hassan reference. So that's an impact on one's life. Are both of you like reflective on that right now? Where and maybe more so when you get closer to June, you'll say, man, what a career. And how blessed I've been to be able to do this. So it's kind of a long, open-end question, but do you think about a lot of that?
Yeah, I do. It, like I said, it, don't make me cry. That's the one thing on that. But no, it's just, I don't know. It's just, as I stated, it's just fun to watch them grow. And just, I don't know if I ever, I mean, sometimes maybe I didn't coach or do things maybe how you're supposed to sometimes, but the kids knew that, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get on you a little bit, but I'm also going to tell you nice job, and we go, and I it's fun to see them. A lot of these kids are coaching now too and whatever, and I don't know if coaching like I did or do the other is good or bad, but it's kind of fun to watch these kids do that as well and then just see them coaching their kids now as well, because a lot of them are married and have their own children and the other. And even back at Spoon River Valley, I mean, I still stay in contact with some of those kids. And yeah, just very good. And, you know, and it didn't matter because we weren't really good there either. I mean, we weren't that good there. But you know what? The kids still appreciated what you did for them. And I appreciate what they do for me, too. I mean, like I said, it keeps me young. So I think maybe that might be something I'm afraid of. I will have to grow up and or I won't be able to stay as young. So, yeah, it's been very, very good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, getting to, and I know this is something, you know, we've both appreciated is, you know, getting invited down the line to, you know, to weddings. You know, we've tried to follow kids and kids that have gone on to play in college. We try to, you know, go to a game and watch them play in college and support them that way. And then, like I said, you know, to get invited to a wedding. I was a late adopter to Facebook. I didn't jump on Facebook right away. And but since I have, you know, in connection with creating the Rock Ridge page, you know, I've reconnected with some of the kids that I had back in Rova, back in the early 90s, and to see them and you know, what they're doing with their families, that's definitely a treat.
Well, I'm curious to ask both of you this because we've touched on it already, you know, the length of, you know, your careers in public education and around interscholastic athletics. I mean, from when you started to 2025, I mean, what are some of the biggest changes you think and things you've had to kind of adapt to, I guess, in your career as time has progressed, I guess, from beginning to end?
Well, when the COVID thing hit in 2020, I, old dog, new tricks. I didn't know that there's this thing called HDMI cable that you can plug that into a computer or your Chromebook and into the TV, and things came on the TV, you know, from on there. And then I was able to do PE stuff, you know, from the television that you're not, because you were
Tom's never been a big tech savvy individual. Let's just put it that way.
So you really can teach an old dog new tricks. And so it's been pretty cool that we did that, because you had to have PE on a dot and, you know, they were 6 feet apart and do that. And actually we were able to work out that way pretty good without using equipment or doing the other stuff. So you can adapt to it. Overall, I don't know. It's been really good. I think throughout time, when I first started to now, is the lady that Louise Bassett was my principal over there. And I know in my evaluations, a lot of times it was like, you need some more patience, you know, whatever. And I think I've grown to that, those things. But it was always just funny. That's how she always finished every one of my evals was, you need more patience. I'm like, okay. You know, so you do that. And then after you had, you know, after we had Devin and the other, it is a true statement. Once you have your own, you do kind of change of how you somewhat teach or whatever, just because, all right, this does happen. So this is how this works. So that's probably the difference in the change throughout time. But otherwise, they're still kids and they still have a good time and they want to come to school. They really do. They may say, I don't want to be there. Yeah, you do. I mean, they like it because they're there with friends, and you got to try to make it so they want to be there as well. So I think that's the rewarding part and the fun part as well.
Yeah, kids want structure. They want adults that know they care about them. You know, that's the biggest thing, whether that be in the classroom or in sports and activities. And to be able to see kids grow, you know, into young adults through that is what's really cool.
All right, so let's lighten it up here just a little bit, because you told me this story before, and it's such a tremendous story, because you brought up your daughter's named Devin, who was a great athlete at Rock Ridge High School, great track athlete, multi-sport athlete, by the way. And I'm assuming she's listening. Hello, Devin. and by the way, I know a lot of people, when we posted this week, that you guys were going to be on. I mean, our social media stuff went through the roof. So you know you're loved and respected. So I know you know that. And by the way, if you have you know, some rando question you want to pass along, we'll try and get it to them. You can text Ty 309-371-3916. That's 309-371-3916. Or you can text me 309-582-6027, 309-582-6027. I saw Jason Clausen texted me and said, two top-notch human beings.
So thank there you.
Go. And then thanks. Somebody, by the way, we'll post it later, sent a bunch of 1987 Cambridge pictures of Tom Hassan and Katie Hulin.
Thanks, Misty. Yeah.
All right, so give us the story. And maybe you've told me this on the air before, but I don't think you have. You got to give me back in the day because this involves Katie, this involves Tom, and this involves Devin when she was 8 or 9 years
yeah,
old.
9 years
and the
old.
Green Dragons had a big playoff game against the vaunted Westville Tigers to try to get to state. And there's a stop at the Alito McDonald's before the game. Katie Hassan, take it away.
Well, yeah. 2006, Westville. We were going to be playing them in the Alito Green Dragons were going to be playing them in a football semifinal game. And all week, of course, you know, Tom watching film. And at that time, it was, I think, maybe DVD by that time, but probably still VHS.
It definitely wasn't
Huddle digital stuff. And Tom can tell stories about going and doing film exchange maybe later. So Tom had been home at night, you know, watching film after practice and prepping and coming home from practice and was pretty confident, you know, and Devin was hearing him say, yeah, we're going to get these guys. We're going to go to state. We can do it. They're not that good. I think even to the fault, and maybe he can tell the story of that Coach Welter and Coach Thompson weren't too happy about him.
Yeah, they
hit
were
his confidence.
Not, if they're listening or whatever, but we watched film on that Sunday and I was like, yeah, we're good. You know, after that. And they're like, what do you mean? They got a 2,000-yard rusher, and they got this. And I'm going, they're not that good. You know, one of those deals.
So Devin had heard this all week, and on Saturday morning, the day of the game, we met Tom's mom and dad, Butch and Diane, at the Alito McDonald's for a bite to eat before going into the game. Devin wanted McDonald's. She didn't want a pork chop. And so we stopped at McDonald's, and we're eating lunch, and there's a family behind us from Westville that had stopped at McDonald's. And of course you could overhear them talking about the game and so forth. And Devin, in true 9-year-old fashion, says, Mom, I thought Dad said we're going to kill these guys. They're not any good. Of course, I'm, you know, trying to quiet down and, you know, have the precocious little one not embarrass us, not say it loud enough for the other people to hear. And we laughed about it, of course. And to make a long story short, the halftime score was the Green Dragons 50 and Westville, I believe, 8.
8, 58. And then old Neil Thompson, I remember him coming down to the thing, and you know, he comes running at me, you know, and he's, you old son of a gun, you know, one of those deals, and big old hug, and you know, Cully wasn't, you know, the game wasn't over yet, but he knew it was probably over with that, and I know he just gave me a smile and one of those deals of like, all right, this is good, you know.
So. And the final piece to that was that Devin at halftime wanted us to go find those people on the Westville sideline and say, see, I told you my dad was right.
Rub salt in the wound.
That a girl.
All right, so then I was going to go the other direction. You know, we talk about relationships and having impact. So I'll never forget, I'll bring up your late father when he passed away, and I went to the visitation, and I thought one of the greatest things that I saw was when the Rock Ridge bus came in with the football team, right?
You really want me to cry, don't
you? I'm just saying, I cry about that too, because that's like, hey, this dude, hey, can you explain how you're loved and how you're respected? Well, my dad passed away, and here comes the football team, Jeff Henry driving the bus with the team.
Yeah, Jeff set that up, I believe, and yeah, it was really special. I mean, those kids didn't have to do that.
Yeah, our nephew Jarrett came in, you know, stuck in the line and said, hey, Katie, there's a bus out here. There's a Rock Ridge bus out here.
But, yeah.
So it was real cool. It was August when Butch passed away, and so the kids had loaded up after practice and came over and paid their respects.
Came,
it was very nice.
And, you know, all those kids came from that team that year, but then there was a lot of Alito kids that had come over, or at least sent a card or did whatever. And I know you showed up too, and
And that was like right before, basically kind of a week, I think, before the season started that year.
It's
awesome.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, and both of you, we'll lighten the mood up again, so calm down. Before I do that, though, I know, like, when I talk to people like Coach Breeden, who I respect a great amount, and like Coach Cook and Coach Welter, and, you know, some of the people that have done it for so long and they do it the right way, and they always tell you that the one thing that I always learn from them, it's kids are smart enough to realize, one, if you care about them. And they know if you don't care about them, X's and O's don't matter.
Right.
So all those coaches that understand the buy-in of, hey, I truly care about them, then the X's and O's come later. Here's two examples of that. I mean, so the advice you give to young coaches, and I always default back to Brad Dixon. He always tells me a great story, too, about the evolution of personal and career growth. Because I always, he tells the great story. I said, what would Brad Dixon of 2024 say to Brad Dixon of 2001? He'd fire him, probably. You know, so there, do you want to speak to both of you kind of speaking to that? Because you see it too, Tom, as working the scores table, still being involved, you wanted to do that. So you know when you're watching some games to say, well, this coach, you know, may know the X's and O's, but why aren't they getting the results on the court? Well, because the kids know that that person doesn't care about them. You see it, Katie, as an administrator, too. Can you speak to, you know, that's the first thing, you got to love the kids, man, and you got to care about them first, and then the X's and O's come second.
Yeah, I believe so. You get that part of it, and you can still discipline kids and do those things, but here again, does it truly matter, you know, how many games you win or the other? Because a lot of these kids, this is it. I mean, they're not going to go into that unless they get a portal deal somehow, you know, whatever. And then you can't blame them, I guess. But no, you still want them to be part of their team, you know. And a lot of times I've said that too. A lot of times, even when I get together and I see some of these kids that we've had and whatever, they don't really remember a game or whatever. They remember a practice or they remember something else. You're like, hey, remember you did that? No, and you know, or whatever. But those are the things too, and you know, I guess that's what I would say to the new coaches coming in, you know, doing those things, is you can win games and you can be strict and you can do these things, but you also have to have some fun with it, you know, enjoy practice, enjoy doing things, so they want to be part of it, your system, and want to show up to practice every day, you know. That I think that, because I'm going to tell you, I didn't like practice either. So I, you know,
I was a gamer.
I always called it the necessary evil, because you have to be prepared, you know, to do your thing. But at the same time, let's just play, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I think that's the part, and a lot of them get that, but things have changed just throughout. But
and I think we've seen, you know, especially at Rock Ridge, we've seen an increase, and I'm sure it's across, it's everywhere. An increase in the number of coaches who are not teachers. And don't get me wrong, we have some wonderful ones, have some amazing coaches who devote their time outside of what their real job is, what their 9-to-5 is, to then come in and coach our kids, and that's wonderful. But to see kids, to see coaches who are also in the building all day with those kids, that's something special. And so I guess my message would be to those, you know, those people who maybe are thinking about going into education, you know, to consider coaching also, because it's another way to make an impact with kids. And whether it's a basketball coach or a football coach or a volleyball coach, or if it's a band director or a choir director or somebody that can help with the cheerleaders or speech or anything, FFA, get involved with kids. And there's many ways to impact kids both inside the class and out.
All right, we're going to take a break. I did want to pass along another text. One of the great people that live in Aledo now, a Rock Ridge kid, that's the Mercer County Farm Bureau manager, Jenna Preston. It says, thank you for interviewing the Hassans, best people that care so much about the students.
Yep.
And there's not a better person than Jenna Preston.
Jenna was in Devin's class.
Yep. All right, well, let's take a break. Much more to come. I can't believe these guys were actually leaving education and interscholastic athletics. How dare them at the end of June. More with Tom and Katie Hassan coming up on WMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
From the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Pleased to have Tom and Katie Hassan in studio with us, retiring at the end of the year at Rock Ridge School District, of course, a career devoted to interscholastic athletics and education. It was funny, I was thinking about it. I was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and I remember I asked Coach Andy Say, at the time was a Rock Ridge head coach now at UT, and he was coaching junior high girls basketball, which was like such a contrast to what he was doing with the Rock Ridge boys program at the time. And I kind of asked him, you know, how do you, you know, handle both because they're so different? And that led to this like great conversation about, he said something like, I could write a coffee table book, you know, in terms of what I hear at junior high girls basketball games, of what fans say in the stands of what's so wrong. You know, they get it completely wrong, like get them, you know, get them off the back, over the back or whatever. So my question to you guys, I've always thought about this, how do you watch a game in terms of, you know, kind of impartial observers now, Tom, you're at the scorer's table, that's how you finish. So I know you hear things behind you or hear things in the crowd. And then Katie, being a longtime administrator, whether it be at Rova or whether it be at Rock Ridge, you know, how do you, you have to be an impartial observer, but it has to drive you nuts where sometimes you probably just want to turn around and say, what you're saying is 190% wrong. Stop saying that. So how do you, you know, how do you approach watching a game as an impartial observer? Or maybe would you have any advice for anybody out there to do it?
Well, I'll start with saying there's a reason that I stand in the doorway down on the baseline and not sit in the stands themselves.
And that's why I like home games better, because I'm at the desk and it's all good. Mm-hmm. So then I don't have to, because I might be part of those people that start that at an away game. So I like home games a lot better. So, but no, it is difficult until you actually go and do that. I mean, and that's why there's a shortage of stuff, because they don't get paid enough anyway to do so, you know, to referee a game. And I know that's coming from me, who, when I coached football, I was not very nice sometimes. Well, I thought I was, but I guess not. But Brian Rewerts, I'll give him a shout out here. When he coached, I do the score, but you know, on the table, and he goes, I remember him come over one time, and he goes, you actually are a pretty nice guy. So, I was a nice guy when I coached football too. And he goes, no, you weren't. So, but you know, stuff like that. But yeah, it's hard. And that's what I said, when there's a shortage, I've always said, I think they should just give somebody a whistle at half court and at each end, and then you don't even need the other to right. report, because would you have, you know, just ask them. I mean, because they call it for you sometimes.
The guy behind the backstop knows every ball and strike call.
Yeah. That's a good point, too. Yeah, that's true. So,
well, is that something that you think has gotten, like, worse as time has progressed in terms of, like, fan behavior at games? Because, I mean, I haven't been around, you know, interscholastic athletics as long, obviously, but I mean, I just feel like sometimes it gets so bad and, like, nasty. So, like, for you, as your career has progressed, have you noticed it get better, worse, or has it kind of just been similar throughout time, you think?
I think throughout time, there's always been that guy or that gal in the stands, you know, that's associated with a team. But I think overall, you know, fan behavior has gotten out of hand, and I think social media has made it worse, because, you know, the keyboard muscles, as you say, sitting there on your phone or behind your keyboard watching a game and spouting off, you know, and having that out there where kids see it, coaches see it, families see it, you know, that's I think, you know, exacerbated the problem and made it worse. But, you know, in terms of just sitting in the stands, you know, you've always had that loudmouth person in the stands that thinks they know it all.
So, speaking about, you know, both of your times at Rock Ridge, I mean, there's been so much success, it feels like, interscholastic athletic-wise, whether you talk about, you know, the great boys basketball runs, of course, you know, what the softball program has done over the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, just the levels of success. There are other sports, too, have been successful, like football down the line. Being around it, you know, as the high school principal, Katie, I mean, what have been some of the things that you've seen that have allowed, you know, so much success, you know, not just like in one sport, but really school year-round for the past 10 or 15 so years?
Well, a couple things to that. You know, number one, obviously we're blessed, you know, with talent. There have been talented kids come through our school, you know, grown up, born and bred, raised in Rock Ridge. Some of their parents went to Rock Ridge. So we've been blessed with, you know, with the pockets of talent, without a doubt. We've been blessed with kids that want to make a commitment to being good and what it takes to be good. And you think specifically of, you know, of the state basketball teams and the state softball teams, you know, the commitment that those kids have had to make above and beyond what it takes, not to just be good, but to be outstanding, to be excellent, to be legendary, that they've been committed to do. And also to their families, you know, to their families who have supported programs, who have supported coaches. And I'll say something that Toby Whiteman said and Andy Say said, you know, during the time that our basketball teams, the first two state runs in 15 and 16, when Toby was the head coach and Andy was the assistant, and then they flipped roles and did the same thing later in the early 2020s. Toby always said, he says, we appreciate the families who allow us to coach their kids hard. Allowed the coaches to get on them and coach them hard to bring out the best in them. And in today's day and age, sometimes that doesn't always happen. And with the transfer portal and the bouncing at the college level and the bouncing from travel ball team to travel ball team because your feelings got hurt or you didn't get the playing time you wanted, to show that commitment and to stay firm and stay not only in the coach's expectations, but in the kids responding to it in a positive way, is something that's been very special.
So to piggyback on that then, so Tom, you know, part of the Aledo success with Coach Welter and then transitioned and worked with the Rock Ridge staff and the success with Coach Graves and Coach Henry, you know, basically been around winning programs nonstop. What do you see as the... Like, is there a key common denominator in basically doing that every year? Now, you can say talent, but it's more than talent. So what is the delegate equation that you think makes those type of programs get the results basically each year?
Well, I think even here, when I was at Aledo and at Rock Ridge, Sam and Coley let the coaches coach their spot. They didn't have to be now they're in charge. I mean, that's, you know, if there's a decision to be made or whatever, they have to do that too. But they let the coaches, and they go and get good coaches with them, and you're able to, and each kid then sometimes, you know, you have certain you know, sometimes you might get mad at a kid on that, but this coach is like, nah, come on, you're good. You know, what are those deals? So I think it always worked out really well that way, that if you trust your coaches you have with you, you can just then all put it together. And then if a big call has to be made, that's that coach's probably not. And that's what I did, you know, a lot of times when I coach football or what have you, on the defensive side, you know, and maybe we did lose the game. And just said, well, you should have outscored them then. I mean, that's on the offense, you know, whatever. But, you know, same kind, it is. It's just, and then the kids build into that. They see the coaches get along pretty nicely, and it's, you know, not always super nice, you know, at times, but they see that too, and they're like, all right, we'll work for them. And we knew they put in the time, and that's the thing too, is you just, there's so many film games to watch. You know, sometimes they're like, hey, you got this film, you got the film. You only have so many hours of the day to watch certain things, you know, so I don't know. I think it's that, and here again, like you said, with the talent, but they work hard, you know, and if you put them in the right situation, they're going to, you know, if they're always prepared, nothing will ever surprise them.
And the success breeds success. You know, we've seen kids step in, you know, you wonder, okay, who's going to fill that hole this year? And somebody steps up. I've heard him say multiple times in the off season when he was coaching at Alito, if we could just find one more guard, if we can just find one more kid to fill that tackle spot.
And they did.
And they did. So. You know, or you know, any of the stuff at Rock Ridge, you know, who's going to fill, you know, X player's shoes? And somebody steps in and does it because of the tradition of the program and the dedication that those kids have. And it's a credit to them.
This question is directed more towards you, Katie, and probably could do a whole nother show on it, or maybe six other shows on it. So as you leave, this is more of an IHSA kind of related, because you've served on the IHSA board how many years?
9 years.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And again, served in the top role as IHSA board president. I'm curious, as you view it, as you leave, and I know there's been some legislation I've seen in Springfield about this, you know, coexistence between interscholastic IHSA athletics and club sports. I mean, that evolution has changed dramatically. Really probably in maybe the last 15 years where you're seeing more of an overlap. Do you think it can coexist, or what is it going to take to coexist? Because I think as each year goes by, this is just me, my opinion, I think club sports is kind of having more of a say over interscholastic athletics for whatever reason. What's the future, or how do they coexist?
Yeah, I think we're at a critical juncture. I mean, we're at a critical spot right now, you know, because of the all the outside influences on education-based athletics, you know, in the IHSA. You know, and I've said this for a few years now, as we've seen at the IHSA board, we've seen the number of eligibility appeal hearings increase over the time. You know, when I first started on the board, we'd have a couple each month. And I've had board meetings where we've had 8, 9, 10, or we've had to have a separate virtual meeting of 12 or 13 appeal hearings where transfers have happened that aren't within the bylaws of our IHSA that's set by the member schools. And I think a lot of that is attributed to what's happening on either end of the spectrum, age-wise, of these kids. You know, we're sitting here in the middle with high school athletics and our bylaws, and at the lower below us, you have everything that's going on in youth sports and club sports. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, you know, the jumping teams and the trying to find the best fit and pay to play and everything that's involved in club sports. And then above us in the NCAA, everything that's going on crazy with NIL and the transfer portal and you know, kids playing on 2, 3, 4 different college basketball teams in their career, that's nuts for their education. And so to try to stick with and maintain the principles of education-based athletics with the education word coming first, I think we are in trouble. I truly do, and I would hope that you know, as we navigate this, both with things going on in the legislature and things going on within our own bylaw process and our own policymaking process, that we can find that happy medium that's going to allow us to continue as is.
And that's something you brought up that I think I'd like to get your take on too, just as like your experience as a high school principal. You talked about how, you know, sometimes you see college kids playing 2, 3, 4 different schools. And I think even in high school now, like you touched on, you're seeing more and more kids transferring from school to school for, you know, an athletic based reason, I think more often than not. So speaking about just the, I guess, the process of, you know, receiving a kid transferring in or a kid transferring out. I mean, I'm sure that's a little bit of a headache, both for administration, school district, then for the kid trying to transfer into a new school district and get acclimated and everything. So just the impact that has, I guess, from top down, you know, with more, you're seeing more and more of these transfers happening at the high school level.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you know, we have difficulties when kids transfer in at odd times during the semester or even at the start of a semester, and working with our guidance office to make sure that we're matching up coursework to make sure they stay on track for graduation. And sometimes that's hard. And it's really hard if they show up mid-semester with a transfer. You know, I take phone calls all the time, especially during the summertime. Hey, we want to, you know, we want to come enroll at Rock Ridge. What does that take? Well, where do you live? Well, we live in wherever, not within our boundaries. Okay, you have to move here. And when you show me a lease or you show me a bill of sale, I said, then come back and we'll talk. Well, we want to pay tuition to your district. What's that cost? A lot. You know, and by the way, if you're a tuition paying student, you're automatically ineligible for a calendar year from the date you enroll. That's IHSA bylaws. Oh, well, you don't have open enrollment? No. You know, well, we want to live here, but come to school there. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, so to a point, you know, the school code helps us as a public school. It's a public boundaried school that we do have those rules in terms of who we can enroll and who we can't in our school. And if we, you know, if we do enroll them, you know, we're very upfront with them of whether they will or won't have athletic eligibility. And obviously my role on the IHSA board, I've learned a lot, you know, so I'm pretty knowledgeable. In my role on the IHSA board, we've also seen schools that aren't as knowledgeable, and then, you know, things get into issue. But then you throw the whole private school non-boundary thing into the mix, and then you've got lots of stuff that's for another day's discussion.
Right. Well, but to again, now you bring up a good point. Well, but anyway, this is my personal opinion, and I'm not even going to have you respond to it. I'm very hesitant of school choice and tuition waivers because it will absolutely destroy small schools. Because if you let people go wherever they want to go, people say, I'm for it. But then when we're having a good football season and the local quarterback says, well, I want to go to another school, then I'm not in favor of school choice. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. However, I'm paraphrasing Ty here. He asked a great question during our state tournament broadcast down at State Farm Center with Matt Troha. And he asked Matt Troha his approach of how do you, you know, you see stuff on social media where, oh, the IHSA, they want this team to win, or they're all about this, and they want to make money, or whatever the, you know, whatever this wild accusation is. How, I mean, is it, do you just have to turn off social media? Because, like, for example, when the non-boundary schools won whatever, is it 7 of 8 state titles? All they care about, they want the non-boundary schools to win. So, you know, how do you handle some of the ultra criticism that the IHSA has? And it's like some of the opinions are always about, they're just trying to do this. They have this agenda they want to fulfill. So is it just, you have to just ignore it? And has that been an evolution for you, I guess? Because Matt Troha, his answer was like great, how he would personally get mad at some of the stuff. And he said, yeah. Hey, I just got to step back, man.
Yes, agreed. Step back, not take it personally. But I guess my point to this and you know, in ending this conversation is if there was a perfect solution out there, we would have already done it. It's a very complex issue. I understand multiple sides of the issue. But if there was a perfect solution, we would have already done it.
And I'm not talking just about the non-boundary.
Right. Of any part of it.
Yeah. It's like always. And that's what I always tell people what leadership is. Mm-hmm. It's easy to make the popular decision, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily the right decision. And right. to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to take on this role for 9 years. Can you imagine the stuff she had to deal with for 9 years when you're talking about COVID and you're talking about non-boundary schools, you're talking about state legislative initiatives where somebody's filing a bill impacting, you know, the IHSA. And my default to everybody on the IHSA is this. It's a membership organization.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And if you're mad about something and you want something to change, very simple. Present the bylaw amendment.
Yep.
And if the membership wants it,
yep,
case closed.
Exactly. And a credit. You know, you mentioned Matt. You know, all the assistant executive directors. Craig Anderson, the executive director, who happens to be another member of the CHS class of 87.
That's right.
So, you know, they do wonderful work. And it's just been an honor to be involved in it.
Okay, we'll circle back to kind of the end of your careers here in a moment. But last thing on this, I wanted to ask you, Katie, just your role.
She's
both
right
on the it's more general, just more on the IHSA board itself, and obviously serving as board president. I mean, what has that experience been like for you, and what have been some of the biggest takeaways, I guess, you've got when you got on 9 years ago to now closing out basically in June, I think, on the board?
It's been an amazing experience. You know, to represent Rock Ridge on that level has been awesome. You know, the behind the scenes, the monthly board meetings, the tough decisions, the long discussions over things. But to be able to see different perspectives of the guys and gals, my fellow board members, who I've been able to serve with and get to know from across the state, I've learned a lot of different perspectives of the different schools that they come, whether they be Chicago Public Schools, whether they be non-boundary schools, whether they be, you know, schools like us, small, you know, small public schools, big public schools. It's been amazing to get to know, the folks that I serve with. You know, that's the less glamorous part of the role. The more visible role is getting to present awards at state tournaments, and that's been just amazing. It's been a lot of fun, you know, to see kids achieving their dreams by winning a state championship or winning a state medal and a state trophy, and to be able to drape those medals around kids from across the state in a variety of sports and activities has just been the best. And the icing on the cake is when I can drape them on Rock Ridge athletes.
That's what I was going to say.
I
just remember, especially the you know, past couple of years in softball where you're serving as the board president, and, you know, both of you obviously are down at the state tournament for whatever sport normally, and how cool it must be to see, you know, the Rock Ridge Rockets win a state championship and you get to present them the trophy put the medals over their neck. I mean, I just thought that was always so cool. And that's something me and Coach Cook always talked about. So just, I mean, that's something too that I think for a school district that we cover in the area is so cool to see, like the high school principal on the IHSA board presenting the state championship trophy to basically her students. Cool.
That's the icing. That's the cherry on top. That's the best part.
So for Katie and Tom Hassan, I guess, as you look ahead to June, just about a month and a half away, right, to retiring and ending your career in, you know, education. I mean, just what are the emotions like for both of you, I guess? I'm sure it still feels a little bit far away, but got the final, what, graduation coming up in a month or so probably. So just, I guess, how are both you feeling as it's kind of coming close to an end, I suppose?
Well, it's weird, of course, just because that's what we've done. I mean, since I'm 55 and since age 5, I've been in education. I mean, this is what I've done. You know, I've either gone to school or I've taught kids or we've done that. So, and that's where we also have Deanna Lee is going to retire, a math teacher with us too. She's got 32, 33 years in. Mary Strahan's retiring as well, and she's got 33 years in. Katie's got 33. I have 33. We had a bus driver who left in October. She had 42 years in driving the bus. And we got another driver that's going to be leaving, Lori. She's got over 20 years. And then
I've got a para leaving with about that many years.
So, I mean, that's a lot of years of teaching of kids and whatever and being in it this long, you know. And that's what's – I think what it'll be okay for me. I haven't coached for 3 or 4 years, and so I've been able to – step away from that, so I know it can be done of education too. But I think I told you that when I first got in here, June and July will be okay because that's what I'm used to. You know, we're always at, but it'll be when August, September come around. It's going to be a little bit weird, but maybe if I'm on the golf course, because I never get to play usually in September, October, so maybe we'll get to do that. But I'll definitely miss it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'll miss it for sure. I'll miss the teachers I'm with, the coaches I've been with, all those things. I know I'm happy to be here to do that.
I was going to ask, so we gave Tom a little bit of a break because he was still crying back in the morning. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks.
So, no, but I want to ask you about, you know, when I think about, so one of my favorite games at Pratt Memorial Field that I ever watched was weird. It was, people say, well, was it like, you know, maybe one of the Byron games or when Alito played them or like when Rockridge and Mirko played the one year and it was the classic game. But my one game that really stood out to me was the year that Alito had to play. And it wasn't Illini West then. It was Carthage. And Carthage had to forfeit like maybe two games because of a teacher strike. Was it a first round game?
Yeah,
and
first
it was round. A wild game at Pratt. And that Troy Blazer was on that team. Yeah, so if you need a job in retirement, Troy Blazer, you can work for him at Alito Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
so you can work for
that he's back. So
and so I remember that game, and they would kick like they'd score a touchdown, and they'd do an onside kick every time. And I remember Alito won that. What year was that game?
Yeah, that was in
2001.
So what I always tell people about like the beauty of interscholastic athletics, that game, you have the Welter staff on one side, and you have the Jim Unruh staff on the other side. And I'm like, that, if somebody says, hey, define interscholastic athletics, that game. And then I always say, you walk across the field, and whoever wins, the handshake line is the exclamation point of what this is about. And I'm like, that day was, you know, excellence on display, I thought, just because of what those two programs represented, those two head coaches, what they've done, and being a part of that.
Yeah.
When you like define interscholastic athletics in your experience, that game would probably define a little bit of that.
I'll go back real quick on that Saturday night pairing party, you know, that we always had at Cully's house. When they brought out that, you know, because they had a strike year, and so they were 6-3, and you know, we had 8-1 or whatever, and when that pairing came out and we played, you know, we had to play them. They're the defending state champions, of course. And I mean, they've been good. And when that came out, the entire room, you know, usually you're like, all right, the whole room was like,
the party was definitely over at that moment.
It was dead silent. Cause you're like, what? They're not 6-3. You know, I mean, they would have been 8-1 or, you know, or undefeated. And they were like, we got to play them first round. And then of course you're like, all right, let's knock them off. Let's go.
I have a fun side note to that one.
And we did. I mean, it was really a fun game too. Yeah.
So I was taking my principal, my master's program through WIU. And I remember sitting up in the WIU Quad Cities building, which is now going to become the Rock Island ROE here in a couple of weeks. Sitting in class on that Saturday, and you know, with the weekend academy, you couldn't miss class. Yeah. I couldn't say, hey, my husband's got a game, I'm going to go to the game. You couldn't do it. Sitting in class with me was Jim Lee, whose son was playing.
We
were sitting in class. And of course, this was, you know, 2001. There was no cell phones. There was no following on the app. I had a little radio with a...
John Hoshack would still appreciate that.
I had a little radio snuck up on the... And I was kind of leaning and listening to it in secrecy during class. And Alito would score, and I would turn around and give a thumbs up or a touchdown signal to Jim Lee a couple rows back behind me during the game while it was going on while I was in class. So sorry, Dr. McCall.
Well, and I was just going to say, too, because I want to make sure, you know, before you leave, especially you, Katie, being as serving as high school principal at Rock Ridge, you know, from a station standpoint, you know, this is a testimony from me of the relationship that school's had with this station in my days of doing it has been par excellence. So I want to make sure, you know, not only you hear that, but Mr. Bush, the superintendent, who was a Mercer County Golden Eagle first, by the way, everybody. So back up. And then
he was an Erie Cardinal first.
He was an Erie Cardinal first. Yeah.
But, you know, Daphne Graves and Brock Boehner are such a great hire. And all the coaches we've worked with in that building are, it's been just a, that's why I enjoy covering the Rockets so much, is because of the relationship that they've had with this radio station. And I just want to make sure that you hear that.
Yeah, thank you.
From us. So
it's it goes both ways, Jim. You know, WRMJ has been such a blessing to us, to our school. You know, every week, you know, from Jim to now Ty, you're reaching out, you're wanting to interview a kid on a Tuesday morning to highlight something that's going on in the building. And it doesn't have to always be the athletes. It's the FFA kids, it's the cheerleaders, it's the FCA kids, it's the musicians, it's anybody, NHS, state scholars. You guys have done a great job in highlighting everything good going on in all the local school districts. Yeah, I'm sure the Sherrard folks and the Mercer County folks and the Orion folks would echo that statement as well. When I do talk with some of my folks at the IHSA level, and I, you know, I talk about WRMJ and the blessing that we have to have this local radio station focus so much on our schools. It's rare. Because other parts of the state don't have it, so we are truly blessed to have you guys. So thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Those words mean a lot to all of us here at the station. We do appreciate it. So I guess we can wrap up with here, as we're just past 10 o'clock with Tom and Katie Hassan, who joined us for an hour this morning. Just as we wrap up, I mean, I wanted to ask you guys, any big retirement plans for you as you look ahead to the summer and beyond?
Well, as Tom said, you know, it's not going to really hit him until August when school starts. It'll be weird for me, you know, working through June 30th and then all of a sudden in July, you know, being done. So there'll be a shift.
We are going to Jamaica on vacation.
We
usually have to wait, you know, when we get back, then she's usually got registration and those types of things, so we won't have that. So maybe I'll just stay there.
I've had vacations where I've gotten the text or the email that a teacher has resigned, or I've had some other, you know, drama come up that I've had to deal with. It'll be nice to not have to deal with
along with Sean and Mary Strahan and their group with that. So you know, good friends for those things. And
Then we're gonna go to Disney in the fall. We've always been to Disney during school break, so never been in the fall.
So then I'll figure
out.
The Minnesota Vikings opener.
Of course.
Actually, with two other, well, a total of four other former high school classmates, and two of them are also retiring from education from their respective schools, so we're going to celebrate our retirement together. And, of course, Devin and Nick have an eight-month-old son. We have a grandson, Luke, that we'll be looking forward to spending a lot of time with him.
So I think how we can end it, like a full circle moment for me, is I remember the first time Ty Taylor ever went on a trip outside of his mom and dad taking him somewhere. He went to an exhibition football game to see the Chicago Bears play, and Coach Welter took him, and I said, I'm not sure, you know, he hasn't been away from us that long. He was like maybe five or six, seven, whatever. And I said, well, who's going? And he goes, one of my new assistant coaches, Tom Hassett, and then Tyus and Ty. So I don't know if you remember that. That was like back when he was little. It's like a full circle moment, man.
Well, that's the thing. Watching kids grow.
Yep, it's just absolutely.
So there's the example.
Seeing
of
his
that.
Kids, too, you know, like I said, his kids are all grown up with the other stuff, too. And you were in his class. So it was just like, wow. And a lot of these kids, you know, they're 40 years old now. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. that's interesting. So, no, it's been a great career. Yep. I've really enjoyed it.
Well,
been a blessing.
We've seen with just the people reaching out to us on our social media, you know, you've made a difference. And when people say to me, you know, define public education and interscholastic athletics, give me some examples. Tom
thank
Hassan,
you.
Katie Hassan.
Thank you guys.
Be like them. So thank you for coming in. I know we'll still cross paths here between now and June, but thank you for being friends to WRMJ. Thank you for being friends and making impact on the youth, which is so important. So thanks for coming in today, and congratulations on two great careers.
Thank you.
Appreciate
very
it,
much.
Guys.
This is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo.
Call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29,
but I'm here. Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your feet will thank you.
It is the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo on a Saturday morning. Good to have Katie Hassan and Tom Hassan with us in the WMJ Studios. And now Terry Tracy has got them cornered, yeah, and he's talking
to them.
He'll
be here for a while.
So, just an awesome conversation. Great to get them on the airwaves. And we could have talked about so much more, but in all sincerity, again, you know, education and interscholastic athletic examples with those two, there's no question about that.
We'll miss seeing them at all the Rock Ridge events. I'm sure they'll still be around a little bit, but you know, Katie Hassan and Tom Hassan, just like you have said many times today, just define what it means to work in education and in interscholastic athletics. They've done tremendous work, and I've never heard anybody really say a bad word about either of them, and I think that says a lot. Yeah. You know, when you work for 33 years in something and there's never really anybody complaining about anything.
I still love Katie. I hope John Hoshite was listening today when she's telling the story about the 2001 playoffs, because that's such a local radio powerhouse story with the earpiece in.
I might clip that part and just send it to him like in an email,
and
so he can hear.
He's probably listening today. All right, well,
Him next week at Tess's wedding.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. We're broadcasting live.
Yeah,
Sportsline.
Not quite. No. That one might be pre-recorded. I don't know.
So interesting week around here. And yes, let's talk softball first of all. The Golden Eagles began the week, right, with some loud noises as they knock off the Rock Ridge Rockets, pick up a big win. And then, you know, their schedule, Coach Murray talked about it a couple weeks ago, they vamped up their schedule. The rematch with the Rockets on Thursday, they fall, and then he knew this week was going to be a big test, and then they go back-to-back and have to play a very good West Central team this week, and they fall to the Heat last night. I saw 5-0, but you know, the margins are so narrow. If you make one mistake here, it can lead to maybe 2, 3, or 4 runs or whatever. So what'd you see this week from I guess the sample size there?
Well, Monday was interesting because it was kind of a unique game. The wind was blowing out so hard that, you know, Mercer County hit 3 home runs that day, all going into the wind. And ended up winning 10-8. Rock Ridge that day, which it was super rare, I think made 3 errors defensively and left 13 on base, where I think they had 18 hits and Mercer County committed 5 errors and Mercer County won. I mean, Rock Ridge left 13 runners on base in that game. So you don't want to use the word fluke, but like it was a game that if you play that game out with that amount of base runners like 10 times, Rockridge probably wins it 9 out of 10. And again, they didn't even really play very well, but I thought still probably should have won that game on Monday. Thursday, they came back and like just I was there when they got off the bus and they looked very focused and they really dominated that game from start to finish, winning 8-2. I think both Mercer County and Rockridge are very good. I also think Sherrard and Riverdale are very good in softball. Just with Mercer County, their issue is defensively. They have struggled so much this year. I know coming into the game Thursday, they were 12-0, and they had committed like 33 errors in 12 games. So it's amazing, even though their schedule early in the season wasn't very tough, to still be 12-0 despite you know that many errors. And then I know yesterday when they played West Central, they committed 5 more errors. Where West Central scored 5 runs, they only had 4 hits. That's the thing, too, that with this station, we've covered some great softball teams, and we've seen a lot of you know postseason games deep in the postseason with what the Rock Ridge program has done. You just don't go very far in the postseason if you make a bunch of errors because you play good teams. And that's one thing they're going to have to clean up. And I think there's potential for them to be very, very good. And they have a great win, obviously splitting with Rock Ridge. But you can't average 3 errors per game defensively. You just don't go very far in the postseason if you do that.
So give me the weird mathematics anomaly from Monday. What was that again? How many?
18 hits, 5 defensive errors, 13 left on base, only 8 runs. I mean, that's nearly impossible.
Yeah, that is. But,
because Rockridge also did run into 3 outs on the bases, too, where they made 3 outs on hits.
Yeah. Yeah, still crazy. But that was the Thompson kid. Natalie Thompson got the big home run.
Huge homer.
What a season.
She's a great player. Yeah, and she's so good behind the plate. And like Rockridge, we were talking about that with Katie and Tom Hassett a moment ago, talking about finding kids to step into spots. Well, they have this freshman catcher, Rockridge, Emily Black, who is going to be like a superstar. I mean, she is so good already. And they always seem to have, you know, 1 or 2 kids in each class on the softball side of things that just is like an all-state caliber player. And that kid is going to be, I mean, she already is really good, but she is going to be a great softball player at Rockridge. She hits third as a freshman behind the plate. She just, I mean, when I've seen her play, she stops everything. I think she is really impressive. I mean, and again, Rockridge, our top 4 or 5 hitters are all really, really good.
Well, and like you said, you described it like they got off the bus and you could tell that they meant best business Thursday when they came to Apollo. And that's what good programs do, too. You know, what does the loss mean to them? And is it going to fuel the fire? And I think apparently it does. And I think it's a big week here for the Golden Eagles with Sherrard next week playing those 2 games because – you know, everything had been going right for 12 games in a row, and then you lose 2 in a row. So you got to respond against, a team that is right up there with the Rockets, and they have the makeup game later in the year with them.
And the thing with Sherrard, too, especially talking about the matchup on the softball side of things, their lineup is really, really good and really, really deep, where they're going to put the ball in play, and you have to – I mean – like Sherrard is a team that if you make a bunch of errors against, they could score 15, 20 runs because they just 1 through 9 are pretty relentless, I think, in their lineup. So it'll be big for Mercer County, I think, to see how they respond because, you know, it's a challenging, you know, 2-week stretch, of course, 2 games with Rockridge, the game with West Central, and then 2 games with the Tigers this week. That, you know, conference race in softball we talked about last week is going to be so fun to follow. I mean, with the top 4 teams, and Orion has played pretty good this year, too. I mean, outside of, you know, they played, I think Mercer County got beat 6-0, but they've won something like 7 of 8, I think, and they won again, or they lost yesterday to Kewaunee, but it just has been fun to follow. So we'll see kind of how that progresses. And then all those teams, those 4 we talked about, Mercer County, Rockridge, Sherrard, Orion, or excuse me, Riverdale, all in the same postseason subsectional, along with Brimfield, Elmwood, who's really good too. So those postseason games will be super fun to follow. Baseball side of things, Sherrard alone in first place in the league at 2-0. They had a game rained out this week with Riverdale in both baseball and softball. But I think they're probably the favorite in baseball. I've been kind of surprised Rock Ridge got off to a slow start in baseball. They're just 1-2 in the conference. They beat Mirko on Thursday, so they split in baseball too. But what's been your observation? Have you followed very closely?
Well, yeah. Well, I want to say, before I get to baseball, what was the funny thing? I was traveling Thursday. I was coming back home, and I was listening to the game. And Coach Cook referenced, he said something about probably nobody wants to hear from an old man know-it-all, or what did he, yeah.
He said he didn't want to sound like an old man know-it-all.
And I'm like, well, what?
I said, no one's ever accused you of that.
Because he throw the change
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's what he likes to say. He was right. I will say the few times he called for it did work. So I got the few. I mean, when they would throw it, when he wanted it, it did work. So put him in the dugout.
So here's my baseball observation. And it's kind of the same way every year, just following baseball. It's crazy when the postseason rolls around again, because if some team in baseball specifically gets hot at the right time and the schedule aligns perfectly in the postseason and your ace can go multiple times if the schedule works out the right way and then there's a rain out, you know, that can impact a team that has not a very impressive record some way, somehow, getting to the sectional. Because the other interesting thing that I've seen this year, how many wild games does the Mercer County baseball team play?
Oh my
Holy
Lord.
Smokes.
They were up like 7-0 in a game against Fulton and then lost 15-14
this
week.
Yeah, that
was
a crazy box score, but they've been
Lord knows
very,
how long that game took. Yeah, and then the long bus ride back home. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, so they've been very competitive again, and there's still a lot of conference games to be played. Mm-hmm. In baseball, and I know that the weather pattern looks to be very active again next week, so I think there'll be some games postponed. But, you know, with what Girard has really been doing, you know, the last however many years with Coach Pizzala, they're going to be the team to beat. But, you know, the top of the pitching rotation for Rock Ridge, I still like their arms that they have. And like I said, it's just really, in baseball, it's about how you're playing at the end of the season if you can get on a roll, and weird things normally happen in that sport.
Yeah, and then just elsewhere in spring sports, want to mention this. So the Orion Girard girls soccer co-op is 13-1. They've got off to a great start this season. I think they have two games today at home. They play, I think, Chicago Christian and Sterling High School today.
Now, are they 1A or 2A?
They'll be 2A. They're 2A in soccer. Okay. They've got to do a nice start. And then I know, like, in track and field, we've got the conference meets are probably a couple of weeks away for both boys and girls. They're separate weeks. The girls one is on its own. The boys one is on its own in the Three Rivers. So I think that the Girard Tigers will win the girls track and field meet like they do every year. And then I don't know what the boys one is.
Well, yeah. I saw they scored 169 points at that 9-team Riverdale invite.
They're
so
loaded,
they were
man.
Getting multiple points for multiple events. So, yeah, they're in a great position, and they're one of those programs, too, that they find the kids and to put them in the right spot.
They won a 2A sectional in track last year, and it was their first year in 2A because I think they were like the second or third smallest 2A school in the state, because track is a three-class sport, if you don't know. And, I mean, it's really impressive that a school of Girard's size won a 2A sectional. So they'll be in 2A again this year. It looks like next year they'll be back in 1A track and field, though. So.
Yeah.
Because I know last year, I mean, they felt that if they were 1A, they could have had a chance to win a state trophy in track and field on the girls' side. So a couple years away from them dropping back down to 1A.
All right, too. I wanted to say, I saw this week with our news coverage, I want to thank, you know, and I know Andrea Cooper's still going to be here for a couple more weeks. Been great to work with from a Mercer County standpoint as high school principal going over to the Girard School District as an assistant principal.
Congratulations to her. She, like you said, has been awesome to work with. I really like Mrs. Cooper.
Yeah,
so congrats to Girard. They made another great hire, as they do like every time, it feels like. I mean, their administration's awesome, right? Carl Johnson, superintendent, high school administration of Alex Johnson at principal, Andrew Cooper, assistant principal, and Lisa Emmendorfer at AD. What a great bunch of people over there.
Okay, so you always bring something up, and I want to make sure this is brought up publicly because I think it's pretty cool. You always say, man, I like that old school
coat that Carl Johnson.
It's awesome. Wore. He wears it to everything.
It's like from the 19. It's like a original. It's his from the 1990s when he graduated. Like 1990, I think he was class of 1990.
So I think it's like a, I think it's a Sherrard wrestling jacket.
It's like
maybe.
A 1980s.
Yeah. It's awesome. Mojo purple and gold. I want one. It's really cool. Yeah.
It's always retro. So I know we didn't get to it today, but the IHSA Wrestling Advisory Committee came out with some interesting stuff this week, and hopefully the IHSA looks at it, and it would basically allow the first and second place teams from the individual regional to go on to the dual team sectional format. I wish they'd do the team regional like they did back in the day where you'd have the locals, basically the two local teams going mano a mano to try to get to the sectional, but you can find that at IHSA.org. Schedule next week is what?
Softball Monday, Mercer County at Sherrard. Softball Wednesday, West Central at Rock Ridge.
Oh, wow. Two
and then
games.
Thursday, we have Mercer County and Sherrard in either baseball or softball. Unsure of which one we're doing yet.
Oh, that's a good schedule next week. As, three very good games. Hopefully the weather cooperates and we can get that.
One thing I wanted to mention about wrestling, I'm still on with I want the Three Rivers Conference to put together a conference wrestling tournament at the individual weight classes. I still am on board with them trying to figure that out.
I think coaches would be receptive of that, but just that in happen. Terms of how they can get it.
Right. It'd be probably a pain to schedule, but that's not, I don't have to worry about that.
All right. Again, thanks to Tom and Katie Hassan. Great conversation. If you didn't hear that all, that'll be posted later on the podcast feed.
Yes. I've got one more thing I want to mention because this got me thinking about that when we mentioned Andrea Cooper and then Alex Johnson. So I saw on social media this week that the Sherrard Boys basketball program is back with its summer park tour for the third year. It's one of my favorite, probably my favorite thing that any program around here does every year. So they're doing it in Matherville, Sherrard, and then New Windsor playing at the parks again this summer. They'll kick off at Sherrard High School on June 2nd. It's Mondays in the month of June. That is so fun. I think I always go at least one day and do a quick little interview with Coach Johnson, but it's always a really cool event, and you can really tell the kids that show up. It's for third through eighth graders, and then the high school kids are there too, kind of instructing. It's like an add-on to their camps. Everyone there is having a lot of fun playing the game. And that's why
that's
it's great.
It's called Growing the Game, and that's why that program had banana crowds this year. Well, they won, but still some of it had to do with the engagement with the community. It takes a little sweat equity to sell some of these programs in today's environment, and he's figured out this is one of the ways to do that. So
it's always really cool.
All right. Again, man, great conversation today with Tom and Katie Hassan. How good were they?
Yeah, they were awesome.
Today? So I love the example that they said and some of the observations they shared. I loved, and I'm going to take the quote out for a news story, the answer that Katie Hassan gave on the balance of how is it going to work with club sports and interscholastic sports going forward, but 9 years on the IHSA board, how impressive, and to think about serving as the IHSA board president, that, man, so awesome. So, all right, again, our next local broadcast Monday, softball is Sherrard and Mercer County from the Joel Brunsvold Complex.
We beautiful have facility over there, yeah.
Do we have Cardinal baseball today?
Yes,
I'm assuming
we do.
They play the Mets?
Yep, 3:05 first pitch. All pre-game right. coverage from John Rooney and
Mike Claiborne,
and then Ricky Horton. They're come on at 2:10 this afternoon.
Yeah. All right. For Ty Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor. We're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Toledo. That'll do it for WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Toledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.